Well, again, good morning. Good to be here. Good to see all of you, especially if you're visiting with us. We're thankful that you've chosen Central to come and to worship us today. You've come on a special day. Not only is it the Lord's Day, but today we're going to talk about politics, talk about religion. You know, they always taught me in school, never talk about politics from the pulpit. Never mix those two. I've been raised to say, hey, never mix politics and religion. But you know me, I'm going to use them together. We're going to talk about both of them this morning, but not in the sense to bring controversy from this pulpit or ever in God's church. That is not my purpose. Please understand that this morning. However, I will offer a suggestion on who to vote for at the end of the lesson, so pay attention to that. David Lipscomb taught that our hands ought to be out of government things, that Christians should not be in the government, that government is of the world. David Lipscomb said that we are about a kingdom agenda, and we aren't to concern ourselves with the things of the world. Christians shouldn't even vote, or they shouldn't participate in any way. I'm going to strongly disagree with David Lipscomb. I believe if there's one thing the government does need, it's more Christians. If there's one thing that voting needs, it's more Christian votes. I think he took it too far. You know, I used to get real involved in politics. I was one of those that when it's election time every 4 years, you probably didn't want to be around me. If you're going to be around me, we're going to talk about politics. If you don't want to talk about politics, guess what? You're going to stand there and listen to me talk about politics. Because I was very vocal about that. I wanted people to know who I was voting for, why I was voting for them. I ran my mouth a lot. Imagine that, right? Not anymore. And don't get me wrong. It's not that I'm not concerned. I'm as concerned about this country and the direction that it's headed just as much as you are. Because I've got three little boys that'll grow up in this country, Lord willing. And so I care about their future, and I care about the future of your kids as well, and our future as well. But you know, when I went to preaching school, I guess you could say God opened my eyes to something I never paid much attention to before. There's more to life than politics. Amen. There's more to life. There's more to this life than what I have right now. There's heaven. And heaven is far greater than this place will ever be. We forget that a lot. You know, America one day won't be here. I don't know when that's going to happen, but it hasn't been here forever, and it won't be here forever. But you know what will be here forever? The church. God's people. We'll be somewhere for all of eternity because we serve a God that keeps his promises. We serve a God that we can trust. We serve a God that not only are we faithful to him, but he is faithful to us. And sometimes I think we forget that. Sometimes I believe that Christians, when it gets around election time or near election time, we tend to forget, and we start to put our faith that we're supposed to give to God, we take that faith and we start trying to put it into earthly officials. There was a problem with this. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, there was a nation that was becoming uneasy. The enemies were threatening them from either side, and Samuel was a very faithful leader to the people, a prophet of God. But Samuel was becoming old. Samuel was going to have to step down. He's not going to be able to be their leader anymore. And sadly, his sons weren't leaders. His sons were far from what Samuel was. And in 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 3, it says that they did not walk in his ways. In fact, they were selfish. They were corrupt. They perverted justice. And the people saw that. The people saw right through that. They're saying, Samuel, listen, this isn't who we want. We don't want your sons. They're evil. We don't want that. We want something different. We want a king. I mean, every other nation has a king. Why can't we have a king? Look at them. Look at the power and the wealth that they have. Why can't we have that? Because that's what we want. You see, they didn't want to wait for God. They wanted a king, and they wanted a king now. And so Samuel talks to God and says, God, I think they're rejecting me. They're not listening to me. And God tells Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 7, they haven't rejected you, Samuel. They've rejected me. You see, all of their faith was tied up in some earthly official. They had taken their eyes off of God. They thought that whoever was going to be their king, they would save them. They would supply power, and they would supply eternal life to them. They're thinking, you know, God can't do it, but a king can. And if you look at every other nation, they're doing good. So we need someone just like them, so we can be just like them. God is the only one who can offer true safety. Listen, family, our faith belongs to God. Our faith doesn't belong to some president or some public official. Our faith belongs to God. I love the United States of America. I pray every day and thank God for allowing me to be born in such a nation where I can have freedom. I wave my flag. In fact, I got socks with a little cape on it. I've got my American flag socks on. Don't worry about that. I am indebted to the brave and the courageous men and women who fight for our freedom. I'm thankful to Ted and Kevin that led those wonderful prayers for our country and for the church, for this church. But I'm thankful for those that defend my freedom so that I can enjoy my life. And yes, as I said, there are things that concern me with this election. I'm deeply concerned. I'm concerned for me. I'm concerned for my kids. But I understand there's something greater than this. There's something greater than this, and that's the kingdom of God. You see, our first loyalty is to God. Our citizenship is in heaven, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. Amen? That's where it's at. And I pray that we never forget that. As great as this country is, as thankful I am for this country, my first loyalty is to God. It's to God. So let me give you some advice for this upcoming election. Some commands that I think and some reminders that God gives us. And I think the first one we need to talk about is we need to pray for our politicians. Every one of them. I don't care if you like them or not. God tells you to pray for them. That's a command from God. Take your Bibles and turn them to 1 Timothy chapter 2. And I want us to read verses 1 through 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 1 through 4. First Timothy 2, verses 1 through 4. Paul's writing to the young preacher here, and he says, I urge that supplications, and he's going to talk about four different prayers here in this verse, and that's supplications is prayer that evil will be dealt with properly. So I urge you that supplications, that prayers, that's the needful things that we pray for intercessions, for praying on behalf of other people. And he says, thanksgivings, that's, of course, thanking God for our blessings, be made for all people. Even the ones you don't like. God says you pray for them, for kings, and all who are in high positions that we may lead. Why do we do it? So we can lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. In verse 3, he says this is good. It's pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. And so it's not an option, it's not an opinion that we need to pray for our leaders. God tells us to pray for everyone, especially those in higher positions. It's not about complaining, well, I don't like them, and I don't want to pray for them because I don't like them. It doesn't matter. God says pray for them. And it's not about praying, hey, I pray they'll get impeached. That's not what it's about. It's about obeying God. It's about looking at people, no matter what position they are in. It's about looking at people and saying, hey, they have a soul. They have a soul. And I need to pray for them. And God says, do it so you can live a more peaceful life. There's something about people that I know that pray for people. They pray a lot for people. And it's something about their life just seems peaceful. And when I thought about this, when I was studying about this, it's like praying for our enemies. I hate putting politicians and enemies in the same sermon, but this is the only thing I can think of. So, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44. I say to you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends the rain on the just and the unjust. So Jesus said, pray for your enemies. Pray for them. How many of us do that? How many of us like to do that? But if you do, there's one thing that you notice when you pray for your enemies. It's hard to have ill feelings towards someone that you talk to God about, is it not? And so if you're praying for politicians, if there's a candidate that gets elected that you really just do not like, pray for them. Pray for them. Pray that they change their ways. You know, there's power in prayer. There is power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I pray that we never forget that. Something else, we could continue to pray for our land, our country. 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. There is power in prayer. James chapter 5 and verse 16, the prayer of a righteous man avails much. One translation says the prayer of a righteous man is very powerful. We need to pray for people. We need to pray for our politicians. We need to pray for our country. I love what Ronald Reagan said. He said, without God, there is a coarsening of the society. Without God, democracy will not and cannot long endure. If we ever forget that we are one nation under God, we will be one nation gone under. Pray to God. Remember that no matter what, God is in control. I think Kevin mentioned this in his prayer. And I do believe with all my heart and all my faith that God is still working in our government today. Do you? I don't know exactly how he does it, but I know he is. There's a lot of study to be done on the sovereignty of God and how it affects our free will. I answered a question through the summer. We did questions and answers on Sunday evening. And so if you weren't in a small group, you're with me, and you remember we talked about that. And I said this, that God's decisions are sovereign. We cannot change what God determines will be done. But there are no passages in the Bible that state that God determines everything, leaving us with no choice at all in matters. At least I haven't found one yet. Instead, we see repeatedly that God's judgments come in response to the choices that God allows us to make. And there's a lot to take in there. There's a lot of study to be done about that. But understand, God has always been and God will always be in control. We may not understand it. We may not agree with it sometimes. But God's ways are not our ways. God has used good people to carry out his will. God has used evil people to carry out his will. But in the end, at the end of the day, God will be glorified. His plan will be carried out. And again, a lot of times we as Christians forget that God is more powerful than we are. That God's ways are not our ways. And last, always remember that Jesus is still king. Jesus will always be king. No matter who is elected, Jesus will be king. And until Christians and Americans realize that, respect that, and follow him, sin will reign on this earth. I think we can all agree, if we were to sit down and talk with one another, that the American society has declined over the years. In fact, ever since the Garden of Eden, the world's been declining. Sin has been eating at the hearts of good people. But nevertheless, in your lifetime, in my lifetime, I have seen the decline. I have seen sin. Because if you think about it, not too long ago, Christians or Americans disproved of homosexuality, of adultery, divorce, drunkenness, cursing was inappropriate. You weren't supposed to do it. Abortion was unthinkable. Public officials were held to a high moral and to a high ethical standard. But what we see was once deemed immoral is defended as everyone's alienable right. Well, you're free to do whatever you want to do. No, you're not. You're free to do what God wants you to do. America has changed. But listen to me. Let me tell you, neither candidate, I know there's more than two running for president, but let's be honest, it's going to be one or the other. Neither candidate is going to cure America or our world. Please understand that this morning. America's decline isn't a political problem. America's decline is a spiritual problem. Amen? And the only thing that can cure America, the only thing that can make this land greater is Jesus Christ, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 1 and 6, verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power to save. And the gospel has just as much power as 2,000 years ago. It's got just as much power today. God is still working. God is still in control. Jesus is still sitting on his throne. And may we never forget that. And if you have no idea who you're going to vote for, you haven't voted yet, and Tuesday comes and you don't know who to vote for, let me make a suggestion. Some of you are going to eat that up after services, aren't you? Christy, I'll never live that down. Thank you. It's hard to end on a positive, on a serious note when you have that, but friends, let me share with you something. Don't ever get so caught up in politics you forget who you belong to, that you forget who your first loyalty is to. Elections like this remind us that there is something greater. And I pray with all of my heart that we, as Christians, we live like it. And as important as this election is to our society, I want you to understand that there is a far more important election that we need to be concerned about. Because elections like this happen every 4 years, whether we like it or not. But there is one election that we make that we need to be sure about. Peter said this, and I've got it on the screen. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. Be even more diligent to confirm your calling and your election. God has given us everything that we need to live a peaceful, to live a godly life. He has given us everything that we need to go to heaven. The question is, are we doing those things? The question is, are we living like it? The question is my election in Jesus Christ, is it secured? Because Peter says you better make sure. You better confirm that. You better make sure at the end of the day that your heart and that your soul and that your mind is right with Jesus Christ. You better make sure. Because at the end of the day, that is the only vote that matters. Let's pray together. Father, we love you so much. Father, we thank you so much for loving us, for sending us Jesus to live and to die, to be an example. So, Father, that we could look at his life, that we could look at your word, and, Father, we can know that there is hope. That if we'll just live like your son, if we'll think like him, talk like him, act like him, Father, we can have heaven. Father, thank you so much for every person that's here this morning. I know you've blessed them in their life, and I pray that you continue to do that. Father, be with them, be with me, as we go throughout this upcoming week in our election. Father, a lot of us are nervous, a lot of us are anticipation about it, but Father, help us to remember that no matter what, that you're still in control, that Jesus is still on his throne. And Father, if at the end of the day that we can make sure that our election is secured in you. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for loving us. In Christ's name, amen. I pray that it's been helpful this morning. I pray that you've been encouraged, that you've been uplifted, and I pray that you've glorified God this morning. If there's any way that we can help you in your life, won't you come as together we stand and sing?